Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
A numbers game here on a Monday, hour number two. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me here. And sometimes we peel the curtain back and it's like, you know, funny things that we say. Kelly Bidlin disparaging the Cure that is playing here at the D.
Overrated.
I mean,
really loud.
This is just unbelievable, buddy. Like, you go, what are we listening to? Like, for one thing, it's the Cure. And two, you're like, yeah, it's not any good. I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm just like, you know, let's get off the desk with you.
Yeah,
off the desk with you. Positive feedback here on the new Clippers logo. Everyone seems to be digging it. So good on that. Whenever we kind of dig into that, Jonathan Von Tobel joined us a little bit earlier. He's down with it as well. Kelly, what we didn't get to was the fact that
I got a text from Zach Cohen, not on board with it.
Oh boy!
Oh boy!
We're gonna need some bullet points as to why.
Yeah.
We're gonna need some bullet points as to why.
Later this week, he'll join the show to explain why.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. He'll be on, and I want that to be your first question to him. Just be like, hey, buddy, I don't really care about the NBA picks right now. What's your problem with the logo?
Why are you hating, man?
Yeah, what's your problem with the logo? Everyone else likes the logo. What's your problem? We didn't get to this court storming thing real quick before we get into golf, but so this has been we're looking, you know, the screens behind us. This is the topic on every single talk show that's going on or whatever, is that they're going to ban court storming. One, I thought it was already banned. I thought you weren't supposed to do it anyway. So what do you mean it's going to be banned? I don't get
it. Okay, it's funny you say that because I didn't know there were any rules in place. And apparently there are all the conferences like fine schools for it happening except for the ACC, which made this a bit more of a story, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. And so the other thing that I would say to this is – my guess in all this is that it is more them saying, and as you said, Kelly, bringing attention to the schools, more like the security guards and programs and stuff like that, to say, hey, you got to like tighten this up a little bit. Because really, if you look, you see it every single game. Like, they pan to the crowd. The security people are just basically just turning to the side and just letting people. They're not trying to stop anyone from going. No. They haven't said, hey, by the way, you're not going. It's almost just kind of like they're going like, all right, as soon as the game's over, you can go. Like, you know, so it's kind of like a look the other way type deal. And maybe this is a, let's put it out there, don't do this. This is something we do not want you to allow to be done.
Yeah, I hate it. I've always hated it. This is one of my.
I am so anti-storming the court.
Good. I thought we were going to get an argument over this. I feel like such an old man saying this, but it has been the only thing I hate worse than the court storming is when we like force these kids to go shake hands after a game. Like you didn't just try for 60 minutes to beat the crap out of each other and now, you know, line up, shake hands. I mean, that's more from the schools. The court storming stuff, it's exactly what happened this weekend that you always get scared of. And, I mean, I feel like the one side of this that nobody's bringing up is, like, we've got a little bit more money invested in college athletes these days than we've had in years past, too. Like, that is that's a side of it. Like, I think there are some guys that are handing out NIL money that you're not going to be so excited to see this happening to players. I get it, Matt. Like, you and I both went to big-time schools. You went to LSU, went to Florida State. Like, we were a part of big-time wins, losses. We've seen court stormings.
I've never stepped on a football field. I've never stepped on a basketball court. I refused. I remember vividly. When I was in college, it was, you know, the height of Kentucky's powers. LSU had that run that year where they had a good basketball team. LSU beat, at the time, number one ranked Kentucky. Everyone's storming the court or whatever, and I'm just looking around. This is not saying that I've just never been pro storm the court, right? So it's just my personal opinion with all that. I don't really get it. I mean, like, you can celebrate, like, we can high five in the stands the same way we can high five on the court. I just never really understood it all. But then they started stealing stuff. Like, people were like because it was, I guess they wanted a memory from whatever. So, like, I remember reading in the newspaper the next day because, we didn't have, like, you know, it was in the newspaper, you know, whenever I was in college. And it was like, The coach's, like, whiteboard got stolen. Like, people were just stealing all the stuff and everything, you know, like, the rolls of tape. There was none left. Like, they, everyone were just stealing rolls of tape. And like, it's just the stupidest stuff. I don't know. I've just never been on it.
I don't want to, like, I don't want to, you know, say that. I really hope that no kid ever involved in these is running out there with the intention of hurting someone. But it's also like, you also know how many times this is happening and they're saying something to the other athletes, right? That it's just not necessary after a team loses to have some drunk fans get running down at you yelling whatever the hell they want, because there's nothing, you know, holding them back from saying whatever they want. It's just, it's tough. I don't really, as much as I hate it, Matt, like, I don't really know that there is like a switch you just flip and okay, we're going to stop court storming. I do like the idea that there are fines in place. Was kind of surprised to hear the ACC doesn't, especially when you think about how some of these conferences are built and like, okay, this is going to happen to the Dukes and UNCs out there more than most other schools when you're talking about who else is in the ACC. So I think you put a bunch of fines in place and then let the schools kind of police it however they want. Because, you know, I think at the end of the day, you're hoping that would work itself out between school to school. I don't really know, though. I hate it, though. It's one of those for all the kids out there going to school nowadays. I feel like our generation's kind of ruined this. Like, it is, like, it maybe started off all nice and fun, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's gotten to this, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like it used to be like it only happened when a number one,
right.
A number one got upset, maybe a number two got upset or something. Now it just like you just beat like your rival and you'd run on the court. Like, I don't know. It
happens all the time.
It lost its oompa with all that. The PGA Tour was down in Puerto Vallarta this past week, and Jake Knapp takes it home, 19 under for the week. Sammy Valamaki outright second, 17 under, and then a slew of guys at 14, 13, 12, and 11. When it was all said and done,
just to sit back, Matt Brown, what a week. You're not going to brag about it, but I'll brag about it for you. How about number one and two on the leaderboard for you, my friend? What a hell of a time to get off the bench and get a win home in the golf season.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a good week. I mean, listen, if you're heading into a Sunday in golf, it was about as good of a heading into a Sunday as you can have. When you're guy that you got in first is several strokes ahead of the guy who's in second, who's several strokes ahead of the next guy who's in third, and you've got both of the one and the two. So
I'm assuming you didn't have to spend a single dollar hedging anything.
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. That's great. Didn't put a dollar down on it. Cause again, it was like, if Knapp was getting run down, it was probably by the guy that I had in second, who I had 125 to 1. Yeah, I had 125 to 1. So it was a good tournament. All the people that listen to Long Shots, hopefully you guys made some money here along the way as well. I know we were on Doug Gim in top 20 markets and stuff. Doug Gim finishes T8, so we're up there with him. Eric Van Rooyen, another guy, we were on T8 for him as well.
Steven Yeager.
Yeah. So there was
it didn't look as impressive in the moment, but when you just look at the scoreboard afterward, Matt, you could say we ran 1, 2, 3 on long shots.
Yeah, it was a very good tournament for all of us. And again, it was sometimes when a handicap really does just play out exactly how we were looking, it makes you feel pretty good with all that. And Kelly, anytime, I mean, it's happened to me, it's happened whatever. So like, it's, you don't win, and it's like, oh, you're the worst handicapper ever. You're like, how in the world do you make any money or whatever? And then you do win. It's like, oh, you don't bet anything anyway. Like, you're like, show me your tickets, guys. Come out of the woodworks and all. It's like, one, I'm never going to show you my tickets because that's what you want anyway. So I'm never going to give in. Like, I'm never going to give in. Like, that is like all you want. You want to see the tickets and all this. They're like, why would I not bet the stuff that I'm going out on these things and say, like, it's just so completely absurd. I guess I've never really got it. You and I came up through poker, right?
Yeah.
And like, let's go on a diatribe here. You know, like, you and I came up through poker, and it's like, you're sitting at a poker table. It's me versus you. I get why there's beef. I understand why they're used to it, and why even to this day, there's still controversy all in poker, right? Because you're coming for my money.
I'm coming for your money.
I'm coming for your money. You're coming for my money. We're going head to head in all of this. There's obviously there's cheating allegations in poker. There's all these different things that are, I get why there's beefs and stuff in poker. We grew up through it. We lived it. I go to DFS, start playing high stakes DFS. Well, even in DFS, right, it's still me against you. It's still a head-to-head. Like, while it's not, like, directly coming for your money, it is still a peer-to-peer contest.
Sure.
Like, we are entering a contest, and it's all of our money pooled together, but I'm still kind of coming for your money, right?
It's like regular fantasy sports.
I'm still kind of coming for your money. And so, like, yeah, there's beefs in there and all that. And then you get into the collusion angle because, like, oh, are me and you putting in kind of the same-ish lineups and are we whatever? Like, so, but whatever. Then there's collusion aspects and all. So I even kind of get the beefs and all that goes on over in the DFS world as well. The sports betting thing, it just blows my mind, right? Because we're all in this with the same goal, which is taking the sports book's money.
Like, yes.
I'm not coming for your money. You're not coming for my money. We're all going for the sports book's money. So I can sit up here and give picks, and you can sit up here and give picks, and everyone can listen, and they can decipher whether they agree with what I've said or not. And then the beautiful thing about it is you can just go the other direction or not follow or whatever it might be, as opposed to sitting here and like, the anti-sweat for every single week whenever we put in picks and the people out there who want us to lose, it's insane. It's so funny because I just don't understand. We're all doing the same thing. We're just going after the sportsbook's money. I'm not coming for your money, Kelly.
Yeah.
I'm not coming for your plays, or I'm not colluding against you in DFS or whatever and like loading up the three mans. I'm not doing any of that. We're trying to take the money from these giant corporations. So what is the problem? Why are we hating on each other? I just don't understand. I don't get it.
I don't know either. I think it's, unfortunately, when we talk about social media, it has devolved to that. It's a shame because I think when you are talking about sports betting and you're trying to beat the house, trying to beat the book, like it is, in theory, social media should be a place where we should all be able to come together and share ideas and share strategies to help each other win money.
Yeah.
But no, instead, we all like to hate each other on each other's accomplishments for no reason.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've just never really understood about this particular industry in general, is we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all just going after the big corporations' money. I'm not coming after yours. You're not coming after mine.
Yeah.
We're all going after whatever. If I sit up here and I give you picks, but I keep the rationale behind them. Now, if you want to scream at people who give picks with nothing behind it and whatever and all that, that's one thing and that's a different topic. But I give you rationale behind it, and it either plays out or it doesn't. I've at least told you why I've done what I'm doing and what's going on there, and hopefully somewhere along the way we pick some winners together and we all make some money. Let's talk some NHL with Jake Hahn when we come back here on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you have not already, one of the best things that you can do is head on over to VSiN.com/newsletter. It is absolutely free to go in and have Bill Ady come in your inbox every single morning with not only what happened in the night in sports before, but also guide you to what is happening the day of over on VSiN.com. He will point out different articles. He will point out whenever we release new betting guides, release new information, all of this. And again, it's absolutely free and it shows up in your inbox. I wake up to it every single morning, Kelly Bidlin, open it up, and there's just this little bit of warmth and goodness there from Bill Ady, from his little hands to typing on the computer to your eyeballs.
I get three of them. I don't know why I get three of them, but I get three of them.
Did you sign up with three different addresses thinking they were... What happened to you?
I have a feeling that Bill and I have been just working together long enough that different email addresses and stuff like that have all been combined into one, and I get three emails every morning.
Well, guess what? Do you open all three?
No,
you better do that because they do the open rate on these newsletters and stuff. Like, you know, like you can't even get three of them and then only open one.
Is that actually true?
You're hurting the open rate. Yeah, you got to at least open the three or whatever. Yeah.
Sorry, Bill, start opening all three.
They get reports on these things. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'll definitely delete two of three.
Oh, man, what are you doing? You're hurting Bill's open rate on these things.
Oh, man, sorry, Bill.
Bill, if you're watching, take that out of Kelly's paycheck, man. Fine him. Like he's storming the court or whatever with all of this. All right, let's talk some NHL with my friend and yours, Jake Hahn. Jake, it has been such a long time. People can follow you over on the Point of the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM at JakeJHahn4 on the Twitter machine as well. Buddy, I love talking the puck with you.
Matt, it's great to talk to you again, you and Kelly. And I was telling Kelly before we jumped on here, I might have to blindly tail your golf picks this weekend. What are we calling it? The Cognizant Classic or something now?
It is.
It's going to be the Honda to me for a couple of years, but Yeah, whatever you're playing this week, Matt, I think I might have to play after your 1-2.
We have to go in and we have to go in and look up these sponsors as well and figure out. We're going to go back 2 weeks here real quick before we get to the hot, Kelly.
I did this one earlier this morning.
The Chubb.
Yeah, the Chubb.
We looked up the Chubb Classic, and Chubb is actually insurance, yep. Which we're really shocked that the Chubb is insurance. So what is Cognizant here?
It is American multinational information technology services and consulting company.
That is a bunch of fancy words that told me nothing about what that company does. Yeah, they're like, we don't sell you anything. We just have to like spend this money, or they take it away from us.
Info and tech, man. They're going to consult you on it. Okay,
there it is. That's I need a ton of that. So let me go in. They'd be like, you do not have the money to afford us. You cannot afford us at all. All right, Jake, we're 4 games over on the ice tonight. Let's start with the first puck drop that's coming to you about 7:05 Eastern, which is the Ottawa Senators and the Washington Capitals. This is currently sitting -135 for the Senators on the road, +114 at DraftKings Sportsbook on the Capitals at home as underdogs. 6.5 is our total. What can people expect here in this one?
The battle for the nation's capitals here, guys, right? So if anybody's into any sort of geography, there you go. That's what we're watching for tonight. But it's actually funny when I look at this line. Look, Washington is not a team I've been backing almost at all this season. I'm really not a believer in the Caps. I think they're old. I think they're on the way out. Although we have seen a bit of a resurgence from Alex Ovechkin since the All-Star break, which has been good. It was a real slow season for him. And, you know, his chase for Gretzky's record over the next couple of years is going to be fun to watch. Be more fun to watch if he was playing at a decently high level, which he sort of is now. So it's good to see. This is kind of the first time I've looked at a Capitals price and actually thought, you know what, there might be some value here. The line has actually shifted in Ottawa's direction. They were a smaller favorite earlier this morning. So money has come in on the Sens. I'll be on the Capitals here as a home dog, guys. I just think they're playing decent enough to keep this game close. And look, Ottawa is just the team that when they're a favorite, I fade them because they can lose to anybody in the league. When they're an underdog, Ottawa becomes very interesting because I think they can actually beat any team in the league. So they're very inconsistent when it comes to that. Not a team I would love backing as a road favorite. So I'm going to go with the Caps here on home ice.
Let's head to the second game, 8:05 Eastern, Islanders and the Stars. Stars are -170 home favorites here in this one, +142 Islanders on the road. 6 is our total here in this one. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I think if you could find a 6.5 for a fair price on the under, this is where I would go with this game, guys. I don't trust the Islanders enough to back them. I know it's a decent price for them. I think the Stars are so deep. I think to me, honestly, they're a team I'm looking to back come playoff time, just because I think they're built to win playoff rounds, to win games in the playoffs. And that's kind of how they built their team. They're going with a deep 4-line attack. So I trust Dallas in this spot on home ice to get it done. They look pretty good in their last handful of games as well, but I think they'll keep it tighter. The only problem is the Islanders have been very loose this year, not the Islanders teams we've been used to in previous years where it's been the complete opposite. They actually tend to play lower scoring games. It's been a lot more high event hockey games for the Islanders this year, but I think on the road here, they probably try to tighten things up a little bit, try to win a lower scoring game. So under 6.5, if you could find a decent number at that price.
9:30 Eastern, Kings and the Oilers. Oilers -155 home favorites over the Kings, +130 for the Kings on the road. 6.5 is the total there in that one, Jake. What we got?
Yeah, I think we're getting a short price on the Oilers here, guys, because they have lost a few games in a row. They went on an unbelievable win streak throughout the month of January, and they couldn't lose to anybody. Now, when you looked at that win streak, the quality of competition maybe wasn't the greatest. They were beating up on the bottom of the league for the most part. And since then, they've been tested by more of the top teams in the league. And ultimately, they've come up short in some of those games. So maybe they're finding their level a little bit. They just lost to their rivals, the Calgary Flames, in the Battle of Alberta over the weekend. So I think you're going to get a ticked off Oilers team here. They don't want to leak oil for too long. No pun intended there. And this is a Kings team they're very familiar with. They've actually eliminated the Kings the last 2 years in the playoffs. So at this price on home ice, I'm going with the Oilers to end this losing streak. If you want to get a little plus money, I think you could look towards the puck line. Maybe you just look towards the Oilers to win this game in regulation. You don't have to sweat that empty netter at the end of the game. But I like Edmonton to get it done tonight on home ice.
Jake, puns are always welcome here on A Numbers Game, so don't worry about it, buddy. Leaking oil there, those Oilers. We're talking to Jake Hahn, co-host of The Point and Fantasy Hockey Show over on Sirius XM. Our fourth and final game here on the ice tonight, 10:05 Eastern, Bruins and the Kraken. We got the Bruins at -142 on the road as favorites, +120 for Seattle at home as underdogs. A 5.5 total here in this one.
This is an interesting game, guys, because as you know, Boston has been probably the most consistent regular season team over the last couple of years. We know what they did last year, and this year, you know, maybe not quite to the level that they did last season, but they've still been a real solid regular season team, ready to play most nights. But for whatever reason, Seattle seems to play them very tough, whether it's in Boston or it's in Seattle. This is just a matchup that it seems like the Kraken like. Now, the sample size is relatively small, but it does make me lean a little bit towards the Kraken here at plus money. On home ice, they're just a deep team, and I think they can match up with Boston a little better. Lines 2, 3, and 4. The Bruins clearly have the high end talent, the guys that are, you know, true goal scorers in this league, like a David Pastrnak. But I think Seattle matches up pretty well against them, and they got to get a move on if they want to make the playoffs. So I think you see a good Kraken team. One prop I think to look out for in this game, if you're looking for a bit more of a long shot, guys, would actually be the regulation draw. So for this game to go to overtime, Boston's been to overtime 5 straight games in 6 of their last 7 right now, which is another reason why I'm not really rushing to back them as a road favorite, because even if they're winning games, they're really having to work to do it right now. So I think backing them at this price on the road, the way that they're playing, how often they're going to overtime right now, I think is a little bit too much for me. So I'd either go Seattle on home ice as a dog, or I'd maybe sprinkle a little bit on that regulation draw, just because you get two interconference teams. Sometimes when it's tied in the third period, they say, hey, I'll take a point, you take a point, we'll play for the extra point, no team.
All right, Jake, we got about 90 seconds. Looking here, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different teams at 10-1 or shorter to win the championship. A big, big kind of grouping there with all of this. Is there any of these teams that stands out to you? And is there any of these teams that you actually don't like of the short shots?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it's a debate that we've been having really all season. I've been fascinated by this market, guys, because we haven't really seen anybody, you know, get above that 7-1 range, and nobody really drops below the 14-1 range. So I think the odds makers are basically telling you, we think all these teams are good. We just don't think anybody's significantly better than anybody else or significantly worse than anybody else. I know a lot of people were probably jumping on some Oilers tickets when they were starting to go on their run and turn that season around. I still have question marks about them come playoff time. When they face stiffer competition, can they really match up? You know, they can slow down McDavid and Draisaitl, let the other players beat them. I mentioned Dallas earlier in this hit, guys. The Stars are a team, I think, that they're just deep. And I feel like they're going to add a piece before the deadline, probably a defenseman. They're a team I'd be looking to back out of that crop. It's a messy mix of teams, and you could really make a strong case for a lot of them. But I think right now, Dallas is the one that is impressing me most and just looking like a team that's built to go on a very, very long playoff run this year.
Well, Jake, it's on you, buddy, because I'm going to put in a Stars ticket as soon as we go to break. And that is all on you. The pressure of getting the Stars okay. home. I'm telling you, it's going to be on you.
I don't
you.
Feel bad. You've got all this extra money in your pocket from the Jake Matthews. So yeah, I won't feel bad if it loses.
Yeah, you got Dallas Austin Stars. Matthews home and the Stars now, Jake. No pressure.
Dallas
no pressure.
Dallas Stars. There it is. Okay. Jake Hahn, you can find him over on SiriusXM Fantasy Hockey Show and The Point as well. Thanks for the time, buddy. Do appreciate right. it as always.
Great chatting with you, boys.
When we come back, let's talk a little NFL draft position, Kelly. That's always fun. These markets continue to pop up here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you do not already have a VSiN Pro annual subscription, do we have a deal for you? Go in, use the promo code ANG, and when you do, you will get this for all $199, VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to get those best bets betting splits. You get the betting guides that we do, and of course, all of the other articles covering every single sport on the face of the planet over at VSiN.com. So VSiN.com/subscribe, use the promo code ANG199 for an entire calendar year. Matt Brown in for Gil. He'll be back in tomorrow. Have you missed him? Been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just looking over here in the Gil's eyes and all that. I mean, well, it's been 2 weeks. How many different eyes have you looked at? How many different people?
Three different pairs. I mean, it was like, how many different eyes? Six eyes.
Six eyes you've looked at over here.
Yeah, so. You was the great Ben Wilson and Jared Smith last week. So, yeah, we've had a great trio filling in. Appreciate all the help.
Yes.
From you, Ben, Jared, everybody.
Gil coming back in. Is he going to be tanner? Is he going to be more tan?
Ooh, good question.
Did he go somewhere exotic?
Yeah, he did. He kind of did his normal post Super Bowl. So I think it was DC, Miami. So I would hope he's a little tan.
Well, or sunburnt at least. Yeah, whatever.
Just a little bit, you know.
Just like let everyone know. That's what you got to do. You know, is there's when you go to a place, you have to allow yourself to get color so people go, oh, where'd you just go? Where'd you come back?
You know, you look like you got color.
When it's winter, like you want to get asked because you kind of want to like do the humble brag about your vacation, you know? So you're just going to be like, oh, you got some sun, did you?
I don't, though, because this just goes from like paper white to like beet red. It's not good. No. Yeah. I don't like feeling that way. Doesn't look good on air.
That said, the last like 45 minutes of your vacation, just strip it all off and just, you know, get nice and toasted. And people come back and be like, oh, it looks like you went somewhere. You're like, I did, in fact. Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, I just got back from, in Cancun, you know, whatever it is or something.
Yeah, wherever.
Yeah, whatever it might be. All right, Gil will be back in tomorrow, though. All right, so let's look at these NFL draft position markets that are up over at DraftKings. Very interesting with the way that these are all set up, Kelly. So you can see NFL draft position of first player drafted. Okay. And so if you're looking at the graphic at home, it'll say like a team, and then it will say like, you know, these are this is the positional favorite, essentially.
Yeah,
right?
This is the way I combed through these. But all the teams that we have up there do have, it is the odds of what position they are going to draft with their first pick.
So if you look, I mean, a lot of these are going to be people trying to read the tea leaves as to what these teams' needs are. If you skip over to, the Chiefs right there on the right-hand side of your page, again, if you're watching the video feed, wide receiver is the favorite at plus 125. We are all sitting here screaming from a mountaintop that they need help at the wide receiver position. I mean, they won the Super Bowl with the wide receivers they had. Imagine if they actually have a decent wide receiver room next year. And so you're getting the best quarterback potentially of all time, getting this done with a whole bunch of twos and threes. Can you actually bring in a one? So that's, you know, plus 125 there on the wide receiver market. And Kelly, as we mentioned, I mean, look, we know T. Higgins is off the market now at this point. So now the best wide receiver that we think will be available will be Mike Evans. Mike Evans apparently is far off in his contract negotiations with the Bucs. And so maybe Mike Evans will be moving on. Could the Chiefs be players in that? Maybe. If you're Mike Evans, are you going for the bag or are you going for trying to win another Super Bowl? And that's kind of got to be the real question for Mike Evans, because in theory, and we were screaming this last year when DeAndre Hopkins was looking for a team to go play for, why would you not want to go play with Patrick Mahomes? Look what he did for Juju Smith-Schuster. You go in, you get the best quarterback in the league throwing you the ball, and then you get paid after that. I don't know with Mike Evans, who's been in the league for 10 years, if he cares about all that at this moment. Maybe he just wants the bag for 3 or 4 more years and he doesn't really care about another championship, but it's going to be pretty interesting, because how the dominoes fall in free agency really will depend on kind of what the Chiefs end up doing in the draft, my opinion.
Okay, so I was going to say, I think it depends on who they end up getting. I think even if we're talking of Mike Evans, there's a chance they still go after a younger wide receiver towards that back end, just because we know of how loaded the wide receiver class is this year heading into the draft. And man, I think there's a chance they could do both. That we might see a free agent wide receiver signed by the team, and they might still be looking in the draft to draft someone younger and add to that receiving core. I don't know. This is interesting. Obviously, we're not talking about the list that DraftKings has posted with the teams that they have listed. It's not a lot of the teams that we're talking in the top 10 of the draft, a little bit further back. But a couple of these jumped out to me, Matt, because they are the favorites. But, like, okay, wide receiver Kansas City, you just brought him up. I mean, offensive lineman, no surprise, a short shot for a lot of these teams. But, like, Dallas, Cincinnati, really jumping out of, like, aren't those kind of obvious moves of where they're probably looking at first round?
Well, the only thing that for Cincinnati for me is I do think it depends on if any of these dudes slip.
That's right. You did bring that up a couple weeks
at
ago,
18. Yep. Because so there is not a tight end. Well, they'll change this in free agency, but the Bengals don't have a tight end signed right now. Literally, like, they don't have a single tight end on their roster.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Yes. If Bowers happened to fall, right?
I know you're in love with that idea.
To 18, I don't know if he will. If he were to fall, they would take him For sure. I mean, that they would take, because again, they have to start thinking to the future too, because they have 1 year left with T. Higgins, right, and then he's gone. So, because they can't pay Chase and Higgins.
Yeah, while it might seem like an overwhelming number of weapons this year, you're thinking beyond that.
Yeah, because they can't pay Chase and Higgins, right? Yeah. Like, you can't pay two wide receiver ones the money that they want. And so you have to think, we got one more year with Higgins, he's gone. So you bring in a Bowers, maybe. But again, what if one of these wide receivers, for whatever reason, just the way that the board works out, one of these wide receivers that everybody's in love with falls to 18? I don't think that they will, because I think all of them are very, very good. And I think that teams will take them. But if one of them fell to 18, and for whatever reason, let's use a drastic case, like Rome Odunze falls to 18, they're taking him at 18, like, for sure, because they have to. It's the same way we're talking about how they had to maximize their window by franchising T. Higgins. You also have to maximize your window of this contract you've given Joe Burrow and all this stuff. Right. So, like, you always have to keep weapons around him. You can't do with him what the Chiefs have done with Mahomes, even though Mahomes has been able to pull it off.
Yeah, I'm with you. A couple of these are interesting. I mean, I think Dallas, like, where they're at, like, it's like offensive lineman is, it might be a better chance to go with an offensive lineman with their first pick than plus 125 is actually giving you. Like, that might actually be should be closer to even money. A couple of these I think are interesting. What is the favorites on there? Because I think there's a very strong chance that's exactly what these teams end up going with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, so
Buffalo, another one.
I was going to say, you look at Buffalo and the wide receiver thing. Well, Gabe Davis is a free agent. Apparently, they don't have any interest in re-signing him. He didn't really work out as their wide receiver too, as it was. Then you have the whole deal with the Steph Diggs stuff that was really weird towards the end of that season, right? Where he was playing fewer snaps. He was getting fewer targets. You see him visibly frustrated on the sideline. Then he takes to social media and starts doing his thing over there and all that. And so, yeah, if they happen to have someone they love fall to them, which, by the way, they don't pick until 28, but if they happen to find someone that they love at 28, it just makes all the sense in the world, right? Because the same deal, like, you don't know what's going to go on with Steph. Did, like, this guy could throw a temper tantrum and say, trade me or I'm not going to play or something and all that. So they have to restock the cupboard too.
Yeah. I think there's a really good chance that he's gone. Probably it's probably best for both sides at this point. Last year was weird. I know it got some press coverage. I still feel like it went a little bit more under the radar, that story and everything that was happening there, than maybe we all know about. So I have a feeling they're hitting the reset button. And again, plus 150, I don't know if that's, I mean, I'm not running out to bet that right now, but I just think there are some of these teams, it might be more towards the back end of the draft, what does that usually mean? Usually means they're better teams that have fewer needs, and you can kind of isolate what the true needs are of these teams a little easier.
Yeah, you start to look, and it's kind of like one of those deals where, so Brian Thomas from LSU is a guy that you will see mocked as high as 8, 10, 12, and then you can see him as low as 24, 25, 26, whatever.
Yeah. Perfect example.
Could he fall to the Bills? The Bills are taking Brian. Like, if he's there, like, he's getting picked, right? Because that's the perfect dude that could come in and help them kind of make that transition through all that. I mean, there's a bunch of wide receivers on that fringe wide receiver one territory. And look, we're going to talk a ton of draft as we enter and all this, because these betting markets are the things, Kelly, we talk about all the time. It is informational. It is the one thing that we have the same amount of info as the sports books and can go in with the same artillery that they have, right? Like, we're going in, we're getting the information the same time they are. We're trying to decipher the stuff the same time they are with all of this stuff. And so it is a market that can be exploited. And as you mentioned, like, you look at some of these, you start to say, well, if it falls that way, sure. But if not, what is the second most likely thing to happen? And that's where you might could come in and put a bet.
No, I like that. I like that. It was the wide receiver number. I cannot wait to see what gets posted for how many first round wide receivers go. Okay, I think it's going to
be a lot.
I think it's six for sure, Matt. And we were talking to Destin Adams yesterday about the draft on Live Bet Sunday. He said he could make an argument for up to 8-9 guys that could be first round grades for wide receivers.
Well, you start to see these guys that were like second rounders that are leaking it. Keon Coleman now making his way into a bunch of first
round. I'll be betting that.
Ladd McConkey making his way into a bunch of first round. Troy Franklin from Oregon is making his way into a bunch of mocks. So a lot of these guys are starting to get into that first round when it comes around to it. We're going to take you home here on A Numbers Game when we come back.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you don't already have a DraftKings Sportsbook account, head to the App Store, download, and make a deposit. But when you make that deposit, use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. What we are going to do for you is when you make your first bet, if that bet does not happen to get home, we are going to give you that amount back in bonus bets instantly into your account up to $1,000. So listen, you don't got to bet $1,000, but you can bet all the way up to $1,000. And if the bet doesn't hit, we will give it back to you in bonus bets over in your account. But you got to use that promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Liam lets us know here on the Twitter, Kelly, the Bellinger stuff is actually a player option, not team option. So this was new news for me when I went on air yesterday, and they were saying they thought there was team options, but I just read it came out that it is player options. So player options for Bellinger, not team options, regardless, not a long-term deal, you know, where all the stuff is going on that apparently they were looking for there in that one. It's funny, we were, so as we were on break, I was going, you know, let's look at some of these, you know, the latest mock drafts out there and just see what people are looking at for these various teams. And sure enough, about 6 hours ago, PFF came out with a new one.
Oh, really?
Pick 32 for the Chiefs, Ladd McConkey.
There you go.
Pick 30 for the Ravens, Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Pick 28 for the Bills, Troy Franklin.
That's insane. So what do they got, seven?
So we're looking, there's three right there. Pick 20. Oh, so they have Brian Thomas falling all the way to 24. So Brian Thomas, 24 to the Cowboys, which seems like an embarrassment of riches on that offense. But so they have him going 24 there. So now we're sitting at four wideouts. Let's continue to scroll here. Rome Odunze going to the Bears at nine. So that's five. Malik Nabers going to the Giants at six. So that is six. And then, of course, Marvin Harrison going to the Cardinals at four, seven. So they have seven going in their first round.
I cannot see what that props. I cannot wait to see what that props opened up at. It's got, I think it's got to be 6.5. I think that's what we're talking at this point.
If they do 5.5, they're going to get destroyed on the over.
You're right.
So I think they're going to have to either do the flat six.
Flat six.
So what we've seen, guys, here recently, because.
Which I'd love that.
We'll pull the curtain back on this, too. The books hate booking the draft.
Yeah.
Because from what we were just talking about to end the last segment, where we actually are on the same playing field with them with all this. Like you know, like this is all informational-based stuff that we're getting the same time as them and all that. So what they've started doing is they'll put flat numbers out there, and they're just like, yeah, we'll take a push. Right. They'll just put flat numbers out there and be like, yeah, we're not putting a hook on that. Not happening.
I think if I was booking this year, it would be I would be six or it'd be 6.5. I don't know how you can go 5.5. The over on 5.5, I'd be willing to bet up to, I don't know, -350. Like, seriously, there are so many good wide receivers in this draft.
I will say the interesting one about this, and again, this is the newest PFF mock draft that came out about six, so this morning. They have the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels and not Drake May.
Okay.
So they have Daniels going two. They have May going three. And then pick eight. This is as high as I have seen this, and this I hope this isn't like clickbait stuff going on here because it's PFF, and I do hold them in high regard.
A kicker.
Michael Penix.
Oh, okay. All right.
Michael Penix, eighth overall to the Falcons.
Where's McCarthy on there?
So now we're scrolling down. I thought, oh, well, then they must be high on McCarthy as well if they have Penix going there. Pick 12 to Denver. Bo Nix.
Wow.
Pick 12 to Denver was Bo Nix. And then you keep scrolling and you're going, well, where's J.J. McCarthy?
I don't get the Bo Nix.
And J.J. McCarthy's nowhere to be found.
It's not even the first round?
So they put Penix and Nix with no McCarthy. So this is going to be the great debate.
Yeah.
This draft is going quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. That's it. Like, it's happening. And it's going to go, and Marvin Harrison's going fourth. Like, we can shut down the first four picks. Well, you know what? The Daniels May debate at 2-3 will happen all the way up until the draft.
Sure.
So we have that. But as far as the positions,
I also feel like I've heard, I don't know if you've heard this, I feel like I'm hearing more and more of the, it's a strong likelihood Drake May is the best quarterback out of this group, but he's not going to be drafted like one or maybe even two. He might go third.
I think the floor is extremely high for him. I think the ceiling is probably higher on both Williams and Daniels.
And maybe that's what that means. You know what I mean? But that would make sense.
Yes. So I think the first four picks, we know quarterback, 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 wide receiver. And we have a 99% accuracy, it'll be Williams at one, and a 85% accuracy, it'll be Marvin Harrison at four, right? We could flip-flop two and three. But then the draft really gets going at five, and that's where things get super, super interesting, because that's where, like, you start to see Brock Bowers gets mocked as high as five.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, going to the Chargers, like, as high as five, you see Brock Bowers going. So, like, I mean, could there really be a tight end taken at five? I mean, you better hit on Brock Bowers if you're taking him five when you're the Chargers and you have as many needs as the Chargers have. You got good wide receivers, Kelly, but you got aging wide receivers. You've got, like, what? So, I mean, again, that's where that discussion really starts to come into play.
I don't have a problem if they went that route. I don't have a problem because I think it's a little bit, it's the same sort of thing that we talked about with Burrow, right? Like, you do need to restart the clock kind of on your position players and having quality position players. And those, the wide receivers are getting older and they can't stay healthy anyways. I don't want to say you missed on Quentin Johnson last year, but time will tell, right? It wasn't the it wasn't the best season for him for his rookie year. So
if you're a Bears fan, though, if this mock played out,
you got to love that.
You get Caleb Williams 1 and Rome Odunze 9.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good start to rebuilding your franchise, right? I mean, like, you're a true wide receiver 1. I am a full believer in Rome Odunze. Like, I think he's going to be a very good NFL wide receiver.
Yep.
And again, as high upside a prospect at the quarterback, we can't say that he's going to hit because quarterbacks hit and miss. But, like, as high upside a prospect we've seen in the quarterback position quite some time, I think you feel pretty good about that start if you're a Bears fan as to kind of like resetting this franchise.
The McCarthy stuff is so fascinating to me, and you know, goes along with Penix and Bo Nix, because it's just, we've never really, like, we're finally hit the draft. It feels like, at least in my opinion, the draft where it's like the age on these quarterbacks, start the clock now where every draft this is going to be a thing, right? You're going to have some quarterbacks that are 24 years old that have been really great in college, that have put it out there for years in college, and then you're going to have guys like McCarthy that are just a little on the younger side, and that's extremely valuable when we're talking about, you know, the career of a quarterback in the NFL. And if you're a team drafting a quarterback, to be able to shave a few years off, it goes a long way.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the age thing, and it's because of the way that they can transfer now in the transfer portal. You got to think, if Bo Nix had not been able to transfer out of Auburn, Bo Nix would not even be drafted. We've been talking about Bo Nix going to the XFL, whatever it's called. Yeah, now.
Soon up for UFL.
Like, Bo Nix was like a giant fail at Auburn, right? You know, and then he go change the scenery, gets to play a couple years in a different, and then shows what he's really made of. So players, especially quarterbacks, are going to start to be a little bit older because they're going to go to situations. If they get beat out by another guy, they're going to go somewhere else where they can play. Well, obviously that's delaying everything and, like, you know, and setting their kind of their path forward back with all of that. And so I'm with you. Like, you know, one of the knocks on Penix obviously is the age thing, but you know, if you truly believe he's a franchise guy, it shouldn't matter if he's 26. It doesn't matter, because if you have a quarterback for 10 years, you have set your franchise up well, right? Yeah. I mean, like, that's all there is to it. I mean, I get it. You certainly would rather him be 22. But the guy's 26 and you have him for 10 years, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't really matter, you know?
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. I'm much higher on than Bo Nix, but
yeah,
personally, I've never professionally evaluated talent. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this is kind of the beginning of this whole deal right here, because we know the three that are for sure going, and now the debate: Penix, Nix, McCarthy. How high do they go at all in the first round? What are all of that? Where do they set the quarterback line? That is going to be super interesting.
Yeah. Because you could see six guys maybe go, or three guys.
Right. It could just be the three that we know of, and it could be nobody else.
And I don't know about you. I don't know that I have any strong thoughts on, you know, if it was hung 4.5, I don't really know what I'd do.
4.5 would be tough because you assume with so many quarterback needy teams that a fourth one goes.
Right. That's someone at the end. They're always the end game, right? Maybe someone trades back in, whatever.
So many quarterback needy teams out there that you think that the fourth one goes. But boy, does the fifth one. Yeah. And that's where that is where it gets real dicey. Because it doesn't matter what we think of Bo Nix or Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy. It just cares what the team's thinking.
It takes one team to fall in love with these guys. That's all it takes.
Maybe some of this gets cleared up in free agency where Kirk Cousins lands, obviously, a very big thing in all of this because he could land at one of these teams that drafts kind of high. So all of that is in play as well. Kelly, always a pleasure in here on the desk for Gil. Again, guys, Gil back in here tomorrow. Do appreciate you guys listening to me ramble here on A Numbers Game.